Another regulatory crackdown from Beijing, this time on the entertainment industry. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. The Chinese government has put what it calls a chaotic celebrity culture squarely in its crosshairs this week. New rules from the Cyberspace Administration say regulators need to increase their sense of responsibility, mission, and urgency, all in the name of online political and ideological security. Fan groups will now be monitored to prevent spread of what regulators call harmful information. Online platforms can no longer publish popularity lists, and celebs will face more scrutiny for things like tax evasion, something for which actress Zhang Shuang has been fined $46 million. As the BBC's Stephen McDonnell explains, this comes amid a crackdown on the Chinese tech industry and an effort to put focus on common prosperity.
Xi Jinping's new thing is this concept of common prosperity, and even though it's sort of a vague notion, what it's all about is trying to somehow make this place a more fair country. Here's a quote from Xi Jinping back in January. He said, "Realizing common prosperity is more than an economic goal, it's a major political issue that bears on our party's governance foundation. We cannot allow the gap between rich and poor to continue growing." And it seems that one of the tools they're going to use to go after this is to use the taxation system to go after high-profile, high-net-wealth individuals.
Now, we've seen a big crackdown recently, especially on the financial services industry. This particular set of rules seems, at least in some part, targeted at growing problems in the online entertainment industry. Some of the things that have been cited in local media are influence over younger people, these online celebrities, online abuse. Is there a problem in this industry that does need to be addressed?
Every single one of these new developments is designed to rein in the power of corporations and to somehow bolster the chances of ordinary working class or middle class people. To some extent, it's also about China growing up as a country, if I could put it to you that way. For so many years, there were no rules here. People were just doing whatever they wanted. And now they're kind of saying to these companies, no, there are going to be proper regulations, and you've got to stick to them.
Still, though, there could be fairly large economic implications from this crackdown. There was a local newspaper today that estimated this so-called idle economy will be worth more than $21 billion by next year. So what has the reaction been in China today from the entertainment industry and from fans sort of across the online spectrum?
Some people are nervous that things like creativity in tech development, it won't be bubbling along to the same extent it has been. Part of the problem is that they're still working it out, what this common prosperity campaign will involve. I mean, might it involve a new property tax? That's something that's being talked about. One way that these wealthy individuals and wealthy companies have been trying to get ahead of this is by donating money to philanthropic causes. And when this meeting took place last week, Xi Jinping again was talking about this concept of common prosperity. Tencent, people will know Tencent, a huge tech company here, announced to help promote this idea of common prosperity, it's going to spend 50 billion renminbi to help promote this idea of common prosperity just off its own bat. So I think they're hoping to get ahead of it and show that they're good corporate citizens with a view of not being the target of this crackdown, which has become quite freewheeling and hit unexpected areas of the economy. Bang, it just seemed to happen overnight, and all of a sudden, big impacts on markets here.
The BBC's Stephen McDonnell for us in Beijing. Thanks for following this for us.
Good to talk to you.
Well, checking the numbers now, stocks across Asia ended their session mostly lower today, while European shares here are little changed. Investors are focused today on the annual Jackson Hole Symposium in Wyoming and Fed Chair Jay Powell's highly anticipated speech. To India now, where Boeing's 737 MAX jets can return to the skies after a 2.5-year safety ban. That leaves China as the only major aviation market left with restrictions in place. The BBC's Nikhil Anamdar has more on that.
This is great news for Boeing, for whom India is a very significant aviation market and also one of the fastest growing. Now, according to their own analysis, India will need at least 2,200 planes worth about $320 billion in the next 20 years, and they'd hope at least some of those would be the MAX. It's also great news for SpiceJet, the only carrier in India that had about 13 737 MAXes, which have all been now grounded, but SpiceJet expects them to be back in the skies by September. SpiceJet has also ordered 100 of these new aircraft, and according to reports, the upcoming airline Akasa is also keen to get hold of at least 80 of them. Now, following this clearance from the Indian regulators, China remains the last major market where the 737 MAX is still not allowed to fly after those two fatal crashes in 2019 and 2020. In Meerut, Maharashtra, I'm the BBC's Nikhil Anandar for Marketplace.
This summer, floods, extreme temperatures, and wildfires have stolen headlines across the world. The UN's Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change has called for innovative solutions to end dependency on fossil fuels, and one Swiss company might have a way to do that. The BBC's Imogen Folks has that story.
I'm high in the Swiss Alps with Caroline Mono and Maxime Rammstein of the local electricity company Romande Energie.
This solar farm produces 40% of their whole energy in winter, which is very interesting for Switzerland. We need to import some electricity during winter months.
What's more, as renewables project manager Maxime explains, the panels could fill that winter power gap. This cold, high altitude is actually an advantage.
The reflection of the sun on the ice, the snow on the ground. So you have more sun rays going to the solar panel.
Climate justice! Now!
Switzerland says it's taking climate change seriously. It's committed to being climate neutral by 2050, and it's phasing out nuclear too. So it needs innovative new energy solutions. Valentin Schmidt of the Swiss Energy Foundation says photovoltaic solar farms have huge potential. But walk through any Swiss town and you see very few rooftops with solar panels. Planning permission here takes time, financial incentives are low, and new climate-friendly laws have to get through not just Parliament, but a nationwide referendum too. Switzerland, says Valentin, is lagging behind.
The Swiss Energy Foundation analyzes every year the per capita production of wind and solar energy from all the European countries and Switzerland. Right now we're on place 24th of 29.
Back at the solar farm, Maxime and Caroline hope to improve that ranking.
We produce 800,000 kilowatt hour per year, which corresponds to the consumption of more than 220 households.
There are high-altitude reservoirs all over Switzerland. Those empty stretches of water are perfect for solar farms. And this pilot project, though small, has outperformed everyone's expectations.
That's the BBC's Imogen Folks reporting from high atop the Swiss Alps there and in London. I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.